So we've talked about the westward hoe of the American Hockey League, the westward migration. What was the domino that needed to fall for all of this to come together in the last couple of months?
Well, it's probably been a little more than a couple of months. Like the process, the most recent, to tell you the truth, the first discussions we had about a Western division of our league really began 21 years ago when Tony Tavares was in Anaheim, and then it kind of petered out. And then when Brian Burke was in Anaheim, the concept gained momentum once again, and there began to be some pressure for us to take a look at ways in which we could better service our West Coast teams. And that kind of, when Brian left, it kind of slowed down again. And then about 3 years ago, we began in earnest discussion, negotiation, conversation, feasibility studies about the possibility of moving teams out to California, principally in the western part of the U.S. and Canada, secondarily. But it's been a year in the real hard slogging, I guess you would say, beginning last January. And I think that, as you can imagine, you need a certain critical mass of teams in order for for teams that far west to make sense. And probably the most critical piece really was finding a franchise available for sale, because four of the teams that eventually relocated already owned teams in our league, but Anaheim did not. And so we had been working on that particular piece of it for a while, and Edmonton originally was not a part of the process. They were part of the discussion 3 years ago, but most recently it looked as though they would stay in Oklahoma City, and then things kind of went a little bit south there in terms of the business in Oklahoma City, and they became part of the mix. And I think with Edmonton becoming part of the mix and finding an opportunity for Anaheim to purchase a franchise, it got us to a number of teams that was workable, and then we had to begin looking at leases and affiliation agreements and all of those various things that had to happen to put it all together. But it's been a long, complex and challenging file, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, Dave, I know you and your group has been on this one for quite a long time. Was there ever a moment, or were there moments along this road where you said to yourself, I'm just not getting good wood on this shot, it's going off the toe, it's going off the heel, I don't know whether this thing is going to ever come together? Were those moments where you said, I'm just not feeling that it's gonna happen?
There were plenty of times where we felt that this was a negotiation for sure, and there were times where I think it was looking as though it might not work very well, and we had some very disappointed teams out west, and a lot of it was very difficult to work with all of those parties. And to tell you the truth, I think Bill Daly certainly was a big help to me in this. He was a sounding board, and at times he was a middleman between, not a middleman, but a mediator, I suppose, between the league and some of the teams. So, all's well that ends well, and I think we're in a good place. It's difficult the good news of going to California is accompanied by some bad news in some markets that have been very good, members of our league with good solid fan bases and people working for those teams that are left behind, and it's not a good thing. It feels bad, but the collective good of our league and the collective good of the National Hockey League are served by the formation of this division, and there's no question that the teams in California particularly have felt strongly for a long time that they needed to have the same advantages that the Eastern-based teams in the NHL had with respect to their development systems. And I think, one of the things that I think fans aren't aware of probably as much is since we got to a capped system in the NHL, or since the NHL got to a capped system, the level of investment by NHL teams and their American League teams has really skyrocketed. I mean, the American Hockey League and their draft and the development of their players has become one of those areas that where they believe they can make a difference with investment and we've got strength coaches, we've got nutritionists, we've got psychologists, we've got three or four coaches now on every team. I mean, when I started in the American Hockey League as a general manager with the Oilers, we had one coach and that was it. But now it's really important. So when you invest that much, if you're Anaheim, LA, San Jose, Calgary, Edmonton, you really would like to be able to monitor what's happening with those players more easily. And I think geography plays an important role there. So it's it's not just about the recall of the player and having him close when you need him. I think it's about the monitoring and management of the players, and the closer they are to you, the easier that is.
Now, obviously, you know, the AHL serves a function and a great function as far as being a feeder to the National Hockey League and its teams, but it's also a business. And so I guess the question is, are you prepared, are you comfortable with the inevitable market-to-market comparison from where these teams used to be to where they are now? Are you going to be wary of attendance figures from these Western cities if they are not, say, up to the standards of the cities that they're leaving?
Well, we're not particularly concerned about that. I mean, if you look at the markets we're going into, they've had success in, two or three of them have had success in the ECHL, and we think they'll continue to have success as American Hockey League markets. San Diego will be, that's a startup, but it's a city that's had a pretty good history in minor pro hockey for many, many years, and being as close as they are to Anaheim with the support the Ducks can give them, I think they'll do fine. I think the big thing about our business is that the most important element of our business is our relationship with the National Hockey League, and I don't mean between myself and Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, but between our teams and their NHL affiliates. And so our business model really depends upon our player supply being from the NHL and our player supply from the NHL being affordable enough that the business makes sense in each of our cities. And so the importance of having these five NHL teams happy with the AHL and comfortable that they've got the best development model they can have within the AHL is the most important element of our business that we could focus on. And so the attendance side of it and the business side of it is almost, in terms of ticket sales and revenue, almost becomes a little bit secondary to the greater good of our league and our 30 franchise, matching 30-30 with the NHL and having satisfied NHL partners. But I do think the business will be good. They've done their homework. They've done their feasibility studies. I think San Jose will do great in their own building with the American Hockey League product. And I think it's going to be, the whole thing has been very well received in California over the last week or two, and interest has been strong. So I think we'll be okay.
One thing that anyone that knows you, Dave, that people can remark upon initially upon meeting you or getting to know you is there's a lot of different balls you keep in the air, that you're always juggling a few different things as the president and CEO of the American Hockey League. Now that this Western situation has been put to bed, what gets moved up to the front burner now, essentially, is what I'm getting at, with all these different things that you have to manage. So what goes to the front of the line now as far as concerns or challenges or next areas of growth for the AHL on your desk?
I think over the next month or so, we still have potentially a couple of moving parts with respect to affiliation agreements for next year. We could have another market relocation, probably not out to the western part of the country, but we could have another move there. So getting us really settled in and getting our divisions set up and our schedule matrix for next year is going to be challenging. So that's all out there that needs to be taken care of. This is a collective bargaining year as well, and we have not yet begun negotiations, which is, by mutual agreement. But we our CBA expires this year, so that'll be on the horizon for me. We also, our NHL officials contract expires this year, so Bill Daly and I will need to get together and get to work on that fairly soon. Our major corporate partner, Reebok CCM, that agreement expires a year from now, so we're already in discussions and negotiations with those folks. So there's lots on our plate, but this one has been kind of an all-consuming project for the last year or so, and I'm glad that it's come to a sort of a positive outcome.
You know, for those that may not be familiar with what Dave was talking about as far as the CBA with the players, this isn't a negotiation with the NHL Players Association. This is with the Pro Hockey Association representing the players at the American Hockey League level. How challenging a deal is that to put together, Dave?
Well, it takes some work. I think at any time you have a collective bargaining process, you have, there are lots of things in the American Hockey League that the players would like to see improved upon in terms of, their well-being, and there are a lot of things that we like to talk to the players about, and in terms of improving our economics or improving, the way our game is played, whatever it may be. So there's lots of work to be done. I wouldn't begin to compare it to the level of complexity that the NHL and NHLPA or any of the major sports leagues deal with, because we don't deal with salary in our collective bargaining agreement. Our players are other than minimum wage for American Hockey League contracts and that sort of thing, but most of our players, as both of you know, are under NHL contract. So when they're playing in the NHL, they fall under the NHL Players Association agreement, and as soon as they're reassigned to the American League, they fall into our collective bargaining agreement. So it's a lot of sort of conditions of the workplace. It's a lot of health and welfare and players' benefits and those sorts of things that are negotiated. But we've had, a real strong relationship for the last 20 years with our Players Association and Larry Landon and his executive committee. We spend a lot of time with them. I hope they believe that we continue to act in the best interests of growing our league and making this the best place it can be to play for players on their way to the NHL. And they've been really helpful with us. So, but you still have to get through the process. So it's going to take, several months of work to do that. And we're looking forward to it.
Quick follow-up on the PHPA. Is the PHPA older than the NHLPA? Does it predate the NHL Players Association?
I don't believe so, because I think the NHLPA I think, Jeff, and you can correct me because your hockey history is better than mine, but I think some of the impetus for the NHLPA actually came from the days of Eddie Shore in Springfield.
100%. 100%.
So if that were the case, then I think the NHLPA got its start earlier than the PHPA.
Yeah, I think players were sick of Eddie Shore, well, netminders of Eddie Shore tying a noose around their necks so they wouldn't go down to block shots in practice. I think the players grew a little bit tired of that in Springfield, Dave.
Yeah.
David takes a big league president to admit that Jeff Merrick knows more than he does about the history of hockey. I'll
you know
say
what?
That right now.
That's probably not true. And the one thing I can say about Dave, too, is he's a better runner than me. And I kind of fancy myself as a runner, but Dave gets out there and gives it.
Hey, Dave, tell us what the new team names are. And specifically, let us know if San Diego's going back to the Gulls.
We don't actually have the new team names. I think there is some interest in that. I don't know that it's been achieved yet. I believe there are some trademark issues, but I think the only team that actually has their name is Ontario, and I think they're staying with the current ECHL name, which
the
is
Rain?
The Rain.
Yeah,
that was a trick.
We're in Stockton, we're in Bakersfield, we're in San Diego, we're in San Jose, and we're in Ontario.
That was a trick, Dave, to try to see if you would reveal information that's not been released to the public yet.
Once again,
obviously.
You probably know better than I do what the names are going to be.
Okay, hey, let me follow up on this one then. Dave, yeah. At the end of the year, if Puck Daddy does his three stars for executives, I think you'll be Greg Wyshynski's number one star for devaluing the shootout in professional hockey.
Go.
How
now
is the experiment
talking.
Coming along, sir?
Well, it's for Greg's purposes, it's coming along very well.
That's
and for
right.
Yours, apparently not.
No.
our numbers are pretty impressive. I mean, I think we've gone from, 65% of our games last year went to, or it might have been a little higher than that, went to shootout of our overtime games. And now I think it's about 25%. So we're seeing a real, major shift towards getting games decided before we get to the shootout, which was one of the goals of our competition committee with this particular approach in overtime. And we're seeing a lot of goals scored in 3-on-3, and we're seeing a lot of excitement in our buildings during the 3-on-3. So it's been, for the purposes that we're, whether one agrees with them or not, for the purposes of what our group really set out to do, it's been extremely successful. And personally, I like it a lot. And one of the stats that isn't out there very often that I think is pretty meaningful is in 3-on-3 play, we're scoring about on a rate of about a goal every 3 minutes. And in 4-on-4 play, it's at about one every 12 minutes. So you can see there's a real difference in the likelihood of goals being scored once you get into that 3-on-3 competition.
Well, and the last question for me, Dave, because I think a lot of people that haven't seen this are all saying the same thing. The skeptics of it are saying the same thing, which is that they are very concerned that the quality of play in the three-on-three is going to be atrocious, that teams are going to hold back. They're not going to try to force play. They're going to be worried about making mistakes, and it's going to just be unwatchable. From what you've been able to observe, has the three-on-three been as entertaining as the four-on-four, or has it just been kind of fluky things happening that have resulted in games finishing?
No, it's been far more entertaining than 4-on-4. Like the games that I've seen, you get maybe 10 or 15 seconds where they feel each other out, but as soon as a player sees a scoring opportunity, you get the puck on his stick, he's going. And once he goes, now you're into, if he doesn't score, you're into odd man rushes back and forth. So that's the way it's played out with us. Whether the NHL would, if they ever went to it, would play it more conservatively, I don't know, but when you get players with the skill level these guys have, playing 3-on-3, it's pretty fun to watch.
And my last question as a follow-up is, what do you see more in hockey in a 60-minute game, a 3-on-3 opportunity or a penalty shot?
I don't know. I mean, maybe you see more penalty shots.
Well, it's the argument that I always have with Greg, which is that as much as a shootout feels forced and is unnatural, all it is a penalty shot just done a number of times. Whereas 3-on-3, which seems like more of a team first philosophy, you don't really see in the game very often.
I think the 3-on-3 in my mind, at least, is more entertaining than the penalty shot. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I agree. I do too, Dave, because there's defensemen playing their position and passes being attempted. It looks like hockey. It's very exciting to see it determine who makes or misses the playoffs. We all want equity and fairness now, don't we?
We got to go. Dave, you're always a delight to talk to. Hey, by the way, how's the running coming? I ask seriously.
I missed my half last October. I hurt my knee. But next year I'll be back at it again and playing lots of racquetball. We'll start training in the spring and hopefully see you in Toronto in October.